Once again, welcome here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A subject that was placed upon my heart. I was going to go one direction today, but it was made known to me to go another. And so, I trust in the keeping of the Lord that He, this is His desire. Given to know, I believe, about the subject of thankfulness. Being at the core, you know, of our faith, the core of our belief for what our Lord is all about, the appreciation for the plan of salvation, the plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. The plan of the Father, even in sending His Son to be the Savior of the world. And our attitude toward that, and what, and who we are all about, being only of the dust of the earth. Being of the dust of the earth. It's for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And how necessary the plan of salvation. It said in the scriptures that we come into this world with nothing, and surely we will carry nothing out. And the only way that I would add on to that scripture is that we'd better carry out the name, the work, the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ upon our heart and in our lives. That witness that we will be, that will herald us at the day of judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ. God the Father, Christ the Son, the witness of the Holy Spirit. But what was our attitude throughout this life? But thankfulness for it all. And so I'd like to look through some of the scriptures concerning thankfulness in many ways and how it influences and or the lack of it can hinder our lives and how we even live faithfully before Him. And so I'm very thankful even to partake in that in the very message. We like to appreciate the wisdom in thanking our Lord. His word is full of praises to His holiness. You know, and we see so many scriptures that talk about them singing praises to His holy name. Many of the Psalms were about singing praises to Him. And I believe that when it talked about, you know, even in the first erected solid temple, you might say, of Solomon, and they had an orchestra that were comprised of many instruments, and the hymns that were designed in order to sing praises to Him and thankfulness to what all He is about to us. God's Holy Spirit gives a person joy, thus to be filled with thankfulness. And how the personage, the work, and the of the Holy Spirit to deliver and to allow feeling, even of joy and of witness, that holy heavenly messenger, you might say, and it is talked about one in the Trinity. Or one in the Godhead, I believe, and there's a wonderful study going on Tuesday night talking about the that orchestration of the Lord, and there's much that we can know, and yet I believe there's much that is a mystery, but we trust, and we're thankful to our God. How could we be less than thankful for what all He is going to be doing and what He is doing in our life for us? You know, and I was thinking on very simple terms, even as we're teaching our young people about growing up as one fourth grade teacher told me one time, learning how to be a good citizen. It was made an awful lot to her, talking about being a good citizen. And good manners, politeness, or etiquette calls for a person to say thank you when someone does something
for you.
You'd think it is so simple, wouldn't you? But how much does that fly by people? And how important it is when we're teaching our young people, our young kids, you know, and our young adults about politeness and thanking people for doing things for them. Isn't it rather a precursor to their faithfulness in Christ and of the Father? Being thankful for what He is all about? That maybe they have that joy? What all has He done for us? How much has Christ done for us? There are so many things that our Lord has done and is doing for us. The list is endless. What He has done for us and what He is doing for us. And what He's continuing to do for us. And so, blessed, Alma 1488. Blessed be the name of our God. Let us sing to His praise. Yea, let us give thanks to His holy name. For He doth work righteousness forever. And what He has done for us, continue to do for us, and to move direct, even to correct us, that He bring, that may bring us to the peaceable fruits of righteousness, and what He has done, all in our favor. When we honor our God, live for Him, and keep His commandments, He has said that you shall have eternal life. It is a win-win situation. When we believe, when we live for Him, when we love Him, when we are thankful to Him for all that He has done and what He is going to do, and that we have everything to gain. What is so ironic, or on the other hand, that when a person doesn't believe, doesn't accept, doesn't live for, lives in rebellion, lives that they think that today and this life is all there is. It is a lose-lose situation. They lose all the blessing of the Lord throughout this life. They're missing all of the good people they could have known, all those that could have stood for them, been there for them, the blessings, the moving of the Holy Spirit, the direction, the comfort, the care, all that is provided for mankind within this life. All that not there for that person. And then eternally lose. Win-win or lose-lose, isn't it? Proverbs 16, 1 through 9. Let's turn there. Proverbs 16. Preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. A lot of people think that they're justified in their own sight. They think that they're clean in their own eyes, but Lord, He knows the spirits. He knows that what the person is and is not, what they think or what they don't think. Is the design of their heart for thankfulness and joy, or hypocrisy and evil. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Their purposes for the good and for the evil. And there's been also an opposite in all things. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. The proud in heart. You know, you can talk a lot about pride. And he says that's an abomination to the Lord. How could we behave ourselves proudly before the Lord? How could we behave ourselves rebelliously and do our own thing and not embrace His holiness, His goodness, His mercy, His commandments that bring blessing and goodness and faith? By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. They learn of the Lord, of His holiness, His goodness, His majesty. And out of loving fear of the Lord, the awe-inspiring respect and reverence for Him. Not man's fear, but the fear of the Lord. And He said, that's wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. In other words, pushing away iniquity. Learning what truth and righteousness is about. Desiring that pushes away iniquity and sin, because you're desiring what is right, pushing away what is sin and what is wrong. Purging. By those that that know some of the principles of either refrigeration, hydraulics, different forms of fluid, things like that, when you needed purity within a system, the impurity is purged out. Okay. Well, you were running a hydraulic system. You needed pure hydraulic oil going through that. If you had air going through the system, it causes you can hear it in the pump. And when a pump can go so long by sucking and pushing air, you can blow that pump. It needed to have pure fluid going through, not to lubricate, to keep it cool, and to keep things fluid, and for pressure to increase. By purging. It's the same, the principles of refrigeration, those that deal with those sorts of things. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. In other words, what would a person gain if they were to gain the whole world but yet lose their own soul? Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. And there are people that go on to great riches in this world, but then their lives seem to fall apart quickly. Just like a cheap garment. And a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You find that the Lord is the orchestra of a person's life, and we want Him to direct our steps. We want Him to direct our paths. We want to, but we have to lean upon Him and His understanding, and give our life over to Him for His direction, His spirit, His power, His holiness, and appreciate Him from all He's about, what He is about. That leads to joy, and joy most certainly leads to thankfulness. I'd like to read a couple of greetings that in Paul's letters. That was so neat. Some of the beginnings to some of his letter to the different groups, such as 1 Thessalonians 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. And just a moment. 1 and 1 through 4. How beautiful some of the greetings are when he began his letters. Okay, and Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. How beautiful a beginning to a letter. Do we begin our emails that way when we greet one another and when we send things to one another? Do we do that with one another? I really doubt it. Now, we may say, how are you doing? How are your family? You know, I will do that from time to time. But how great a beginning and beautiful to a letter. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Isn't that so neat? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that showing a thankfulness, you know, unto God, even for your brothers and your sisters in the church? Do we even mention to one another, even in our testimony services, are we thankful for one another? I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that I'm thankful that you're not out there in the world with no direction, in derision and confusion. I'm thankful that you're not out there. I'm thankful that you're in here. I'm thankful that you know Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that you have come to know Him and to keep His commandments. I'm thankful that you've been baptized. I'm thankful that you've entered in on the path of righteousness, that straight and narrow path. I'm thankful for those things. Have we said that? Have we mentioned that to one another? 2 Thessalonians. So a couple of these that I'd like to... 1 through 4. Once again, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you. Brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Your charity for one another. Pure love of Christ, the Book of Mormon says. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. That you endure. They were in very troublous times. Their physical presence was being threatened. You know, they're being hunted down and scattered. They were being not only persecuted by the Jewish faith that was trying to drag them back into the old ways, into the old laws, into the old circumcision, everything else, and the old laws, but they were being hunted and taken before magistrates and killed many times in the early ministry of the church. The ministry today has not faced what they faced back then yet, where they were hunted and they were killed, met certain deaths, and so on. And yet they were thankful. They were bound to be thankful, it said. They were moved. Probably the Holy Spirit had moved them to be thankful. To thank always for you. You know what's so neat? We look at the world, the world condition, and all the elements that are there in order to tear one person, another, and another away from Christ. And we have the wondrous, the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, according to set in motion, plan, and prophesied revealment and fulfillment in this the latter day, on the time appointed in 1830, that the angel would fly with the everlasting gospel to deliver to them, to preach to them that dwell upon the earth. To know of those things. We are fellow laborers, you and I. We are fellow laborers and fellow witnesses of the truth, of the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and His marvelous plan of salvation and setting His hand for the second time to reclaim His people Israel. Being thankful for that. A marvelous, powerful plan set in motion by God Himself, not us. We are to be partakers, caretakers, flame keepers, and guard that very wondrous truth. Philemon 1:1-6. Just one other reference here. The little book of Philemon. Just two books over from 2 Thessalonians. Yes, our books have one. The Philemon, we may not go there very often. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Epaphras and our Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That beautiful introduction once again. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Acknowledging the goodness, the faith, the labor, the caretaking of the brothers and sisters in the church. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Do we say this to one another? Maybe. Maybe, and I'm not saying you don't. But it's kind of really neat how they begin these, isn't it? And appreciating one another. Probably don't appreciate one another enough. Gosh, well, I had one more, by golly. And over in Colossians. I've run out of space at the bottom of the screen. I believe it has to be that one, last one on that frame. In Colossians 1:1-5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and all the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Isn't that so neat? The hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which have you heard before, the word of the truth of the gospel. And the love which you have to all the saints. Wouldn't it be something if we have such a letter from, let's just say, another local in the church, and they wrote to us here, we heard of your love to all the brethren here, or to all the church. In your ways, however things are transpiring here, the love you have for one another and the love that you have for the others, and how you're working and doing what you're doing, you know, and if we keep this recipe in our midst, things will be blessed. We want things to remain blessed, don't we? And he has said by desiring right things and that you can purge out what is sin, or you know, even contention. We don't even want to mention contention. But worthy of all praise. Hebrews 13:12-21. Instead of a couple of scriptures that we're going through, then I have a couple of points. Some points that I want to make. Hebrews 13. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people without his own blood, suffered without the gate. He was taken out onto the hill. He was made sin for us. He was crucified in order to fulfill the plan of redemption, that through him we might have eternal life. We live according to his blessed plan. Let us go forth therefore without him, without the camp, bearing his reproach. Reproach, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, giving the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Once again, being thankful and giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. And I'm trying to bring this idea as well, talking about being thankful and the fruit of our lips. And we're going to go into that here a little bit too as well. God talks about them being sacrifices, and he's pleased with those things. When we speak well with one another, and we praise in a good and positive way. Okay, we've got to be careful. Even of praising, would be carried on, you know. And I know that, and you've probably heard me say, and I, I'm trying to be careful about that. You know, people may give me a praise for something I've done. I said, now, wait a minute. If Moses couldn't even make it into the promised land because of the Lord, you know, providing the water, and he said, must we fetch you water? I want to be very careful of what I may take whatsoever, you know. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for what is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, according to working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. But make that we may be perfect in every good work. We got to, you know, pray that the things that we are doing, the decisions that we are making, the witnesses that we are given, the things that we are speaking, you know, that are make us perfect in every good work to do his will. And be pleasing in his sight. But the fruit of our lips, that means a lot, doesn't it? Romans 6, 17 through 19. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, as ye have yielded yourselves servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Sometimes when there are situations that arise, when there are maybe discussions that are had, maybe there are situations that may occur, that it maybe takes a little more effort. Yield yourself servants to righteousness, to God. And servants to righteousness and unto holiness. Sometimes it takes a little more effort for that to become more ingrained and more part of our first nature. The more we practice to do what is right and what brings fruit unto goodness and faith and thankfulness and praise and thanksgiving unto our Lord. Man's tendency, it talks about being rebellious from the very start, man's tendency can tend to be negative sometimes. Man's tendency can be to do things that run amok, or say the thing that they will bring grief later. But sometimes, you know, enduring means applying a little more effort once in a while to do and to say and to think and to decide and to perform what is the right thing that will bring us joy and peace and joyfulness, instead of the things that will cause remorse of conscience. We don't want to do that, do we? 1 Peter 2 and 9. 1 Peter 2 and 9. But ye are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, that we are to be a peculiar people. Titus says that we should be zealous of good works. But the thankful spirit that, you know, as we may read in the news of people that have gone so far astray, and many even that have even taken their lives because they could find no happiness in the cold riches and fame and wonder that they had attained to. And we see those every day. But we've been called out of that, and we are thankful that we are not involved in that. We've been called unto Jesus Christ. We received that. We've heeded it. We are enduring in it. We are loving in it. We're being guided and strengthened and led by His marvelous light and His marvelous gospel. How precious is that? And being thankful unto God the Father through Jesus Christ for it. Colossians 3, 12 through 15. To put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies and kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which you are called in one body to be thankful. The peace of God to rule in our hearts. And you know, I believe it to be twofold. Let God have full sway and authority in your life. Let him have that that kingship over your life, but to rule over your life, you know. And the other thing comes to my mind about they used to have, well, you can have a tape measure, you could have a ruler, okay, and it helps you measure. Helps you measure what is right. Helps you measure what is wrong, to know the difference, and to measure by the light of Christ. And He is ruler, and He has full sway in my heart in order to do so, being of the elect of God that you have, you know, as He called, but you heard. As he beckoned, He called after you, you responded, and living in His kingdom. There are two ways of meeting the day to come. Here we have a slightly different direction in that, you know, there are people that meet the day differently, isn't there? When they get up during the day, and we have choices to make before the day begins, don't we? We wake up from our rest, and there are ways that we can begin our day. Most importantly, before the day begins, you know, before decisions and things occur. I know a lot of we have, say, our prayers at night before we rest, and that's wonderful and so on. Before the day begins, it would be really wonderful to do the same, wouldn't it? But there are the days to meet the day. And some people wake up really happy and energetic, and they're ready to meet the day and to go on for the things that God has laid out for us, and appreciating all that He is about and being thankful. You know, do you wake up with a smile on your face and things like that? But there are some people that have two different ways of making their statements. And some say, "Good morning, Lord." Absolutely. You know, do we ever catch ourselves doing that? Or do we ever, before we get out of bed, you say, "Lord, would you help me this day with the challenges that come?" And I'm going to have to bring that in, but there's a prayer. It's a workplace prayer that I used to carry on my, have them on my bench. And for Him to give me a fresh supply of strength and to use the talents He's given me in His name. And there are so many other things I need to get, try to find that again. And it's really a good prayer. And how we may say good morning to our Lord, you know, and start the day off with prayer. And let Him help govern the day. Okay? There are others that don't start out so well. And they may say things like, "Oh Lord, it's morning." You know, Because for whatever reasons, maybe the night didn't go well, maybe the night before didn't go well, maybe life isn't going well, maybe the day is they're already starting up, but the day not going so well. You know, two different ways of looking at things, you know. And I didn't get my water glasses. I was going to have my water glasses up here. Both of them had the same amount of water in them. Both of them had this much water in them. And some people see their water glass with the glass half full. Some people see it half empty. Depends on how you look at things, isn't it? And you can choose the better part of the day, or to choose to do better, and to choose to start out with a joyful spirit, or you can choose to start out negative in how we approach things. It's just like people. We can choose to appreciate the better part of people, and their intentions and things, and we'll get more a whole lot more out of people as far as friendship and help and things like that. Than treating people negatively, talking down to them, or demeaning them, and so on and so forth. There's a whole different way of approaching things, just like the day, isn't there? Of course, as I was looking at these comments, I sent these two to my brother and my sister, and we both have a little thing for, we like coffee. And one of them did show Garfield, and he was all deformed and everything else like that, like he hadn't had his cup of coffee. The other one showed he hadn't his cup of coffee, and he has his robe on, his slippers, and a smile on his face. And regardless. But our witness. Turn with me over to Psalms 107. Psalms 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. And as we talk about our witness and how we may talk to people, how we may, they may be the strangers about us, they may be those we just haven't really got to know yet, or so on and so forth, those about us. Doesn't it also, when we look to the good things and to kind of give someone an encouragement and so on, what doesn't it also make them feel good? And even speak the word of Christ to them and so on, something that is necessary, definitely, in our world today. Psalms 95, 1 through 7. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. That's so neat. I remember when you read in the book of Job, and Job, after going through his trials, he still needed to learn more about humbleness and the majesty of the Lord. And the Lord asked him the question, I thought it was so neat. He says, you know, basically, how could you counsel me, Job? And he said, where were you when I made the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I made the stars and I hangeth them upon nothing, I believe it is. And it's not word for word, but it's really wonderful if you want to take a look at the tail end of Job, you know, showing him his majesty. And where were you when I did all these things? You know, we are but the dust of the earth. And He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And in his majesty, I believe that because of His majesty's holiness, His reverence, and His being told to enter in a good and faithful servant and to enter into His presence will be that joyfulness and thankfulness that will be the fuel for the praises to our God forever. Boredom cannot be known. That's an earthly trait. That's an earthly trait. People, I've heard people say, well, what are we going to do? Just sit upon a cloud and play a harp all day long? No, no, no. The fuel for the fire of praise and thanksgiving to our God forever. Our Father loves and blesses His thankful children. We have so much to be thankful for. What do we think that our testimony services are about after sacrament? Aren't they? Praises for His blessings, His taking care of us, maybe how He has saved us, how He's looked after people, how He kept us from possibly accident or whatever. Aren't they not thankfulness and praise? And I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be with you here today. I am. This is the pinnacle, I believe, of our week. Second Nephi 14, 11 through 12, page 64. Not lining up here. Hold on a second. Hold, please. Page 164. Makes a little difference. For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. Behold, I say unto you that you must pray always, and faint not, that you must not perform anything unto the Lord, save be in the first place you shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. Isn't that intricately important and powerful? Pray unto the Father in the name of Christ that He will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance be for the welfare of thy soul. That is a wonderful thing to think about each day. Each day. Jesus said, sufficient unto each day is the evil thereof. You need to pay attention very importantly and intricately to each day, don't we? The welfare of my soul. What would be so neat is also maybe we could influence the performance of another soul today through our witness. Wouldn't that be neat? Are we showing our children and friends that we are thankful to God and that He is the very source of our existence and blessing? Is that true? Are we showing those of our friends, our neighbors, but are we showing? How about our children? As we example to them that we are thankful to God. They see it in our lives. They see it in our witness. They hear it in our prayers. Do they know it to be true that you are thankful and that you owe it to your God, their God? How good He is, how good Jesus is, how good it has been to your home, taking care of you and blessing you, and that He's the source of our existence and blessing. That God is the source, you know, of taking care. We thank you, O Lord, for the meal that we have. We thank you for the roof over our head. We thank you, O Lord, that you've helped to provide for us. Not that this is what I've went and got this morning. I've brought it home. I've put this on the table. Thank you, O Lord, that you've helped to provide for us. There's a lot of I's, and we know of another entity that likes to say I a lot. But I will do this and I will do that. 3 Nephi 8:50 and 52, page 652. And which begs the question, do we pray in our families? Do we have that precedent in our families that we are praying unto Him? It came to pass when Jesus had spoken these words to His disciples, He turned again unto the multitude. He said unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore, you must pray the Father in my name. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, that shall ye receive. Behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. The words of Jesus Himself telling us we should pray in our families that your wives and your children may be blessed. He's commanding us to pray that we should pray over them. And mothers and fathers, we can't be there all the time with the children. There are times they're out of our sight. There are times they're going to be at school. There's time that as they get older, they're going to be out with their friends. There are going to be times when they're going to be behind the wheel of the car. We can't. We hope we've taught them. We hope they've taught them to pray. But consecrating their welfare unto the Lord to be taken care of when He can look after them. That your wife, your children may be blessed. Your family may be blessed. Alma 16, 238, page 431. And that you live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which He doth bestow upon you. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that you be watchful under prayer continually, that you may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that you may not become his subjects at that last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good thing. We pray that we are not led away by temptation of the devil. He's out there. He's not giving up. But desiring the right things, praying unto the Lord for righteousness' sake, and that we may be desiring righteousness and do right things, and to can be placing that hedge about us that we are taken care of, that He may not have power in our lives and have the wisdom to know where His trail is, and where the signs of His workings are. Watchful under prayer. Watchful under prayer. Mormon 3:29. And He hath brought to pass the redemption of the world, whereby that he that is found guiltless before Him at the judgment day, hath it been given unto him to dwell in the presence of His kingdom, to sing ceaseless praises with the choirs above, unto the Father, unto the Son, unto the Holy Ghost, which are one God, in a state of happiness which hath no end. Ceaseless. Boredom cannot exist. Boredom cannot exist. Boredom is, once again, I believe, an earthly and a human trait. We need to be constantly occupied and entertained. And this is what I believe that what Satan has tried to do as to the entertainment industry in so many ways in our society today has just run rampant. Telling people that you have to be impatient. You have to be entertained. You have to have something to constantly manipulate and so on. But how about being content? How about being patient? How about being long-suffering? Those are things that seem to be opposite to what the entertainment industry is trying to teach us today, isn't it? And I believe that has an author and seems to be on cruise control with the aspirations of mankind, that these so-called actors, which have also become more and more popular and gained the attention of people, seem to be able to have a that also all of a sudden makes them smarter, also makes them more influential, you know, and just because of popularity. Moroni, Mosiah 1:66. So that I may go down in peace in my immortal spirit, that I may join the choirs above and sing in the praises of a just God. I'm looking forward to that time, for that time to sing, to join the choirs above. And when we're singing together, guess what? We're in choir practice. We're in choir practice here. God wants to hear each of your voices. Hebrews 12, 1 through 15. It talks about no chastening. This is very important, but I wanted to give a couple of verses about it. But something we really need to pay attention to far as thankfulness is concerned, because there can be logs in the road. No chastening for the present seem to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Don't be distraught, disappointed, and sorrowed, but make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Okay? We have to go through a chastening. We have to learn something in our life to go on, be strengthened, to endure in a better way, that we may receive the peaceable fruits of righteousness. Sometimes we need to be corrected in our ways. But follow peace with all men and holiness with which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God or his mercy, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. We've got to be careful about letting a root of bitterness come into our life, our attitude, decisions, our demeanor, the way we may speak and so on. Bitterness stops our joyfulness. This turns and robs our joy. It robs our thankfulness. Our root of bitterness. We must be careful about that. You know, you were talking in the vacation church school about Alma 16 and seeds and seeds being nurtured and taken care of and planting good seeds and this and that and the other. What did he say? He said, make sure that you do what? In the first place, make sure it's a good seed. This one, and a seed leads to a good seed, good root, so on, being healthy. This is bitterness, a bitter root. A bitter root. And a bitter root's going to grow up to be what? Bitter fruit. It's going to be a bitter plant. It's not going to be a very good one. And so on. And you can have a root of bitterness. You must be careful about that. And it can lead to adverse thinking. It can lead to all sorts of other ungodly thoughts of covetousness, of lust or temptation or whatever the matter. You know, because that spirit drives on its own to take you away from Christ. And a root of bitterness can do that. And it can get strong. It can get deeply rooted. And it can take away from joy. It can rob you of your joy. Jesus came, he said, that you may have joy and that your joy may be full. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Training ourselves to say good things, kind things, edifying even one another in love. We can be truthful about things, but edify one another in love, it talks about. James 3, 8 through 14. Please turn with me there. It seems like the most popular thing that can rob our joy and rob our thankfulness can be the things that we say and shouldn't be saying and so on. But 8 through 14, the tongue can no man tame, unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. That's why I put a question mark down, taming the tongue. It's something we train ourselves about. The things we can choose to say that are full of goodness and faith and wonder and blessing. But therefore with bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. See, he says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? A vine, fig, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. We can't be procrastinating, believe one thing and say and do another. Because the Lord knows what procrastination is, and he knows what hypocrisy is, I mean. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I believe we read this one. To which you also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. It's a commandment of our Lord to be ye thankful. What all has he done and for us, and praising him for what all he is about and what he's done for us. 1 Peter 1:15. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. You know, and that's what we're trying to learn about, isn't it? We're trying to learn how to be holy in all manner of conversation. Not saying what is right, not lying about things, being forthright about things, being kind about things. Edifying is great. It says edify in love. And as our brother was preaching here a few weeks back, about contending for the gospel, we've got to be careful. It is contending, and there's edifying in love, but contention is where it all gets away. And you know, and then all of a sudden people are pitting one against another, and the love's gone. Do our decisions show our thankfulness to God? Something to ponder, isn't it? Do our decisions show our thankfulness to God? The things that we do in our life, the things that even we've been given, do our conversations add up to a thankful heart? Even co-workers or those we come in contact with. How about, do we maybe give a praise for something that happened while we, maybe even at the grocery store? Did we show a thankful heart? Our witness to strangers or those we don't know yet declare our joyful spirit. Remember, Jesus said, I have come that you may have joy and that your joy may be full. Sometimes you may be the closest that a person may come to the inside of a church. I don't know. Congregations grow because congregations invite. Congregations invite because congregations witness. And it is known, you know, that church over there, those people that belong there, they're wonderful people, joyful people to talk to you. They don't snub you. They don't push you away. You know, things like that. Do our children know how much God has done for you and your family and your ways, the dinner table, in your regular conversations, your talk, and your prayers? Once again, have you been caught praying by your children? Have you been caught praying by your children? Isn't that neat? How about the dinner table? Talking about pieces of the gospel, or how did their day go? And you know, God took care of you right there. Or maybe if you'd have used this piece of the gospel right there, that you could have gotten along with your friends a little bit more, or taken care of this situation a little bit better. But do our children know how much God has done for you? You know, even our possessions can be used for godly reasons, and you know, the things that the Lord has blessed us to have, not to covet, not to spend all of our time upon, but be used as tools, even money and our resources and decisions. And so, I hope that we pray for one another. We're all thankful hearts and so on. And prayed as those beautiful letters were for one another, that we pray for one another and be thankful for one another, that we know one another, that one another here knows of Jesus Christ and are living for him and enduring in him. I thank you for your love and for your prayers.